Hey everyone, welcome. Welcome back to Navigating No Contact with Toxic Parents. I'm your host, Tracy Principe. Thanks so much for tuning in and being here. Really appreciate your support and, listening to this podcast. So hey, if you're not in the Facebook group is Navigating No Contact with Toxic Parents. We have over 4,000 people in there now. So feel free to join. You can also find me on Instagram. Got a lot of great content there as well. And my website is www.tracyprincipe.com. So check it out. Email me if you have topics you want me to cover. I'm happy to do that. Email me, tracy@tracyprincipe.com. And I will certainly cover your topics for the next podcast episode. So today I want to talk about something that comes up so much, and it's so, it's heartbreaking, and that is, siblings, toxic siblings, siblings that you grew up with that you have no relationship with, or very, maybe you're even no contact with your siblings or low contact with them. We're struggling to understand why they don't understand why you're no contact, and all of those things that are really, this secondary layer to going no contact or low contact with a parent or your parents. So let's dive into that today. I see this almost universally in the dysfunctional family system. Almost all of my clients have little to no relationships with their siblings. So, and that's for a lot of different reasons that are, again, really layered and complex. So let's dive into that. Okay. So there's a couple of reasons, first of all, why your siblings might have a different version of events, right? That can happen for a couple of reasons. One reason is, depending what the age range is of, where your siblings fall in ages, maybe you're the oldest, maybe, there's a middle child, that's and how they were treated based off their ages. That can play into why they have a different experience than you do. Maybe there's a good possibility that they did get treated a lot differently than you did. So oftentimes in that dysfunctional family system, there's a scapegoat, somebody that takes the blame for the family problems, right? And then usually there's a golden child, and that child will be, oftentimes it's a male, but obviously if there's no males in your family, it will be a female. And so what happens is that child, the golden child, is, can do no wrong. They get put on a pedestal. That you might hear oftentimes, you might have heard very critical things that, parents might have said something like, why can't you be more like your brother? Why can't you be more like your sister? Those kinds of comments that are harmful, right? And so in that dysfunctional family system, you are already set up to fail. You already were set up to fail. So thinking back again on different ages, who got treated differently? Was there a golden child, if assuming you're more the scapegoat? Does that scenario fit with, the family dynamic with the children in the home? So again, maybe because of age, because somebody was a golden child, because somebody was, the problem child, maybe what you experienced was different than them. Did somebody get actually physically abused and somebody somehow avoided that abuse because they were the favorite? Or somebody really got picked on and criticized and somebody else somehow didn't seem to have any consequences for their actions, and they could do no wrong, even if it was their fault, right? See that a lot. So that is really, those are the main reasons why a sibling is going to have a very different version of what happened in the home than your version. The other main reason is because memory and experiences, denial of trauma, minimization of trauma is also going to look very different for each person as an adult. So, and again, if they haven't acknowledged their own trauma and they're still stuck in the dysfunctional family system, and you can't understand why they're not able to see it, they're not able to understand what's going on, it's most likely denial and minimization of what actually happened to them, because they are staying in that family system and their survival is still dependent on that family system. So a lot of clients come to me and they will be devastated because their sibling is still in that system. And it is devastating. It is, and the, you know, the client, the sibling wants to help them, wants to fix them, wants to make them see, wants to get them out, you know, especially if an older sibling that actually raised was responsible for the younger siblings, they feel like it is literally their responsibility to save that person, right? And again, that's all conditioned, learned behavior. So the issue is that you can't save them. You can't wake them up or make them see or fix them. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't work like that. So, I actually had someone that, had a situation where they got their sibling out of the house, but the sibling went back because, again, that was actually their safety and their survival, even if it was totally messed up and dysfunctional. So that is why it is so difficult and nearly impossible to, you know, make your sibling see what you see. Their survival is dependent on that dysfunctional family system, and they can't see it. Just like the other adults that might be siding with your parents and leaving you, you know, as a scapegoat, right? Smearing you, siding, you know, siding with other family members. They're all sticking together. And that's why it feels so, you know, there's this kind of helpless loneliness, anger. It's all valid. And that's why it gets so confusing. Guilt, all of those feelings will come in and it's all valid, right? And that's why it's so layered and so complex, because you can have all of those feelings at the same time. And that's totally normal. And it makes a lot of sense because there's just so many layers to all of these different dynamics. And so that's why there is so, you know, there's so much difficulty with siblings, because y'all were never set up to succeed or have a relationship. All of the siblings were just fighting to survive in that house. There was, when you are in survival, pure survival mode, there is no space for connection, right? Connection doesn't happen in survival mode. It's not possible. So everybody's fending for themselves in the same household under the same roof. And everybody is in survival mode and operating in that survival in maybe different ways. Maybe somebody's diving into sports. Maybe somebody is diving into a book or video games or TV or schoolwork, you know, or somebody's just outside, you know, with their friends all the time and not avoiding being home. All of those survival tactics to, you know, get through it, right? And nobody had time for connection. And your parents wouldn't have allowed that connection to happen naturally because that was threatening to their identity. And that would mean that they would lose control, right? So, and that is really sad. It's helping my clients see this for what it is really important. And grieving the loss of your siblings, it's a grief process. It's a loss because you were set up to fail from day one. You never had a chance because your parents didn't allow it. It was all about controlling everyone. And there was no space for fostering individuality or, individual personalities, ideas, feelings. Somebody's good at one thing and another sibling is good at something else. Fostering those individualities, that was not something that was ever going to happen. So that whole system of siblings, the way it should have happened, didn't happen. And that deserves grieving and loss, along with the anger, knowing that it was set up that way, knowing that there was never a chance for it to succeed. It was set up to fail. And your parents played a direct role in making that happen. This is all, unconscious, right? But it's all about power and control. And so what happens with siblings as adults, a lot of times they're avoiding their own pain and perhaps seeing you adds to that reminder and adds to that pain, right? Because they haven't worked through it yet. And they're not willing to face it. And everybody has their own protection in place. And so you can't force somebody to go where they're not ready to go yet. And that is sad. So there's so much to work through when you're dealing with siblings. It's really, really hard. One thing that does happen though with clients is that I notice once they start to work through some of these things on themselves, they get to a better place, they get their nervous system regulated, we do the somatic work. A lot of times the relationships will begin to change because that it's a noticeable difference when you do this work and you become more embodied. It is definitely a noticeable difference. It's, I guess you might say, it's an energy. And people will begin to notice that. So there is some hope that siblings could come around. And I have seen that. But I'm not going to say that, I wouldn't say it's common. Is there hope? Yeah, there is. But at the same time, there's a fine line of, you're wishing and hoping and staying in the fantasy. We don't want to do that. Staying in your lane and doing the work and the healing is really all you can do. That old adage of putting your mask on before putting the passenger mask on, planting those seeds, because if you are in contact with them, have some contact, there's going to be a change, right? And, they may, and again, depending where they're at, depending, how they handle, how they cope, right, with what happened, if they're denial, they have other things going on, all you can do is work on yourself, and sometimes a sibling will come around, sometimes they will also end up going no contact, or sometimes other siblings have gone no contact first, right? And somebody else will follow. But again, these dysfunctional family systems are really, 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 really ingrained, right? It's really hard to get out of because it's survival. It's primal. It's primal and it's conditioned. And we know there's a lot to lose when we leave that unit. However, we do gain our peace and freedom from being in that, you know, that system that hurts us, that hurts our bodies by wearing all these masks and pretending and not being true to ourselves. And because that pours out in every single area of your life, not, you know, that's what sets it up for that happening in every single nook and cranny of your life. I see it, you know, in everyone. And that was true for me as well, right? The people pleasing, wearing masks, hiding parts of myself. That lonely road, but the freedom and the truth of my, you know, of who I am, is worth it, right? So not an easy thing to do, as we know. All you can do is stay true to you. And perhaps, again, there's a hope of a sibling, you know, realizing that maybe they too have trauma and something that they need to work on individually, right? Because again, their experience was different, even if you grew up in the same house, because memories are different. Coping mechanisms are different. Everybody had a different experience. Yeah, so let that digest. Be taking a breath, feeling your feet on the ground. Just maybe putting a hand on your chest for more support. If this feels a little overwhelming for you, just gently put your hand on your chest and notice your breath. Notice your feet on feet on the floor. And just slowing down your system a little bit, taking it all in, taking your time. It's a lot. It's a lot, right? It's so very layered and so complex. And just resting there, pausing there as you let this information in, noticing what you might feel in your body as you're thinking about this, listening to this. If there's anything that comes up for you around this, any aha moments, anything that resonated, just slowing down your system, perhaps letting your eyes gaze around your space, and letting your eyes gaze on something that feels a little more pleasurable. Could be a picture, color, object. Just gazing at that thing that feels a little pleasurable, and then noticing as you're gazing at that what you feel in your body. What you feel in your body. Seeing if you can find a little stability, a little comforting, a little soothing. Seeing what that feels like. And as you go about your day, the rest of your day or night, again, just remembering that all of this happened way before you ever came along. It happened and it started, you know, hundreds of years ago, this intergenerational trauma that just got passed down started way before you, way before your parents, their parents and so on and so forth. It just gets unconsciously passed down until someone in the family says no more, right? I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not gonna be a part of this anymore. That's how those cycles get broken. So take your time. Have some compassion for yourself. Give yourself some compassion. And know that you're healing. And there's no quick fix. It's probably a lifelong journey. And trauma works in layers. So one layer will come up, and then it could be another layer, and there's not really a time limit on how that works, but certainly, you know, being regulated and safe in your body makes a tremendous difference in being able to manage emotions and what does come up, right? So we don't have those wild swings and dips, and we can manage through this and really understand what's happening here on a deep level. And that, that's really what healing is all about, and staying true to yourself, right? You guys are all doing wonderful. You guys are doing a great job. Keep going. And remember, your body and your nervous system, amazing system that it is, was just trying to keep you safe and protect you, and you survived, right? And you were surviving in that the best that you could, because you couldn't run away, you couldn't escape. You survived in that, and your nervous system and body was helping you, and I think that's amazing. And you are amazingly resilient because you did survive. And your little nervous system is still working really hard to protect you, even though there's probably not really a threat right now. But your nervous system and body is remembering that past threat that was real. And so it got stuck there. And it's still remembering that. So be gentle with yourself when you think about that, when you want to be critical and self, you know, self-judgment, all of that. It's your nervous system trying to protect you, keep you safe, and it's still trying to do that. And it can come up at the most inopportune times because it doesn't understand between now and the past. All right, I hope you found that helpful. I hope you found that maybe some new information that you hadn't heard before about siblings. It's not, you know, nobody talks about this. Nobody really talks about the sibling part. And it's really, really, really important, because like I said, I see this across the board in almost everybody I work with. It is, you know, another loss and fallout of this toxic family system that got set up. All right, I'm going to end there. Again, if you have any questions, feel free to email me. If you have an idea for an episode, email me. I'd love to hear from you. Again, join the Facebook group, Navigating No Contact with Toxic Parents. I'll see you over there. A lot of trainings, the nervous system, trauma being stored in the body. And would love to, you know, if that's new information for you, would love to introduce you to that. It is life-changing. And I believe, personally, in my own experience, the only way to really heal and work with trauma, process trauma, is through the body. All right, thanks again for tuning in, Navigating No Contact with Toxic Parents. I will catch you next time. Thanks all.